Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we spent the last little while talking about the Dipper One for the show here. I just called it life. We're talking about life. Some of that we're talking about life in the womb. Some of that I'm talking about being very conservative and addressing issues that are outside the womb. And, you know, things like promoting adoption and ensuring that we are not just seen as the people that are saying no, that we're sometimes saying yes to things that make good sense and still, you know, honor the integrity and the scriptural aspects of life. All those things that make up the pro-life movement, that's beyond the womb, too. Well, there's a number of things that are happening right now. The March for Life's going on in D.C. We've got things like Chip Roy is leading a cause right now in the House to fight the FACE Act, which is what's been used by the Biden administration to convict pro-lifers. Trump just pardoned a bunch of pro-lifers, which was great. You got things like Tuberville and Britt in the Senate working on a letter about pushing for a pro-life agenda. And then our own congressman from Alabama, one of them, the dean of our delegation, Congressman Robert Atterholt, who is the 4th Congressional District, he is sponsoring a bill right now that would basically make sure that no funds get to Planned Parenthood. And I thought, you know what? I was in his office the other day. That's where I watched the inaugural. I want to bring him on and talk about it. So without further ado, it's enough of me talking. Congressman Robert Atterholt, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, Phil. Great. Good to be on with you.
Well, thank you for making time. I appreciate it. Listen, I've known you for a few years. I've always known you to be a pro-life congressman, but there's always something more that can be done. And you've got this bill right now, the Protect Funding for Women's Health Care Act. Tell us what you got going on.
Yeah, we introduced the bill just this week on the 22nd on Wednesday. It is a companion to a Senate bill that Senator Joni Ernst is introducing in the Senate. And as you rightly said, it's called Protect Women's Health Care Act. And it would basically, the bottom line, protects federal taxpayers from their tax dollars being used for funding Planned Parenthood and, of course, of all of its affiliates. And, of course, most people don't realize I know a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't realize how much the Planned Parenthood focuses on abortions. And so that's something that needs to be dealt with, and this is something that would cut off their funding. You know, obviously, federal dollars shouldn't be going to pay for abortions, and obviously there's a lot of people that feel very, you know, like myself, who don't want their taxpayer dollars to be, you know, involved in that any form or fashion. Planned Parenthood, Federation of America, you know, has like over 50 affiliates that operates what they called health centers. But as you and I know, they're really, the sky's really is abortion clinics because at least one of their clinics has to perform abortions. Now, they say they perform other things, and they may do that for health care for women. But their main focus, in my opinion, is for abortions. And it's, quite honestly, it's staggering of how many abortions they perform. The numbers that I've seen is over 323,000 abortions each year that Planned Parenthood provide.
Yeah, you know, this is the kind of thing.
It's no small thing.
No, it's no small thing at all. This is the kind of thing that, in my opinion, like future generations will judge us on, is how do we take a stand on things like this? And I look at this, too, and I know what the argument's going to be. You mentioned it, Planned Parenthood, which truly is just like, it's antithetical that that's their name because they're like planned non-parenthood. But they do things, allegedly, otherwise, for women's health care. And they'll try to say, those funds aren't federal dollars. We use them for other things. But we all know money's fungible, and that's exactly where it slips into.
And let me say that this legislation reallocates the federal funds from Planned Parenthood to federally qualified health centers that actually ensures that, you know, you do have preventive care, dental services, mental health support that help a wider patient population. And so that's what the money would be. So there's no way you can criticize that you're trying to not take care of women's health. But I've never considered abortion, a woman's health. This is not what we're really trying to help in preventive care, dental services, mental health. You know, just the list goes on. There's a lot of things that women's health includes, and abortion is not one of them.
Yeah, and we've noticed, you know, over the years, Democrats always give a name to something that sounds different than what it is. Like this, in this case, they call it reproductive health care when it's about non-reproductive health care. They talk about gender-affirming care, which is really non-confirming the gender of a child. So all these things, it's amazing how they'll try to slip their agenda past with a glossy name. But I think it's more like, you know, the Cheshire Cat. We can still see the smile. We still know where he is. He's still there sneaking around and doing things. And this is the kind of thing we have to do. We have to continue to peel back the onion, and one of which is you guys control the power of the purse.
And another thing, too, Phil, let me just mention that Planned Parenthood also has a political advocacy arm.
Oh, yeah.
And they deliver millions of dollars to the Democrat Party. Also, something that I think most Americans don't know is that they oppose sex education that focuses on abstinence. They will actually file lawsuits against school districts that have decided to implement abstinence-only programs. And they claim, you know, Planned Parenthood will claim that they offer value-neutral sex education, but you know, if you really look at what they're teaching, I think most of us would be very appalled at what they consider a value neutral.
I agree. Listen, so your bill got dropped in this week, so it's not had a chance to do any committee action yet. It's just getting started. Is that correct?
No, it's literally been like 48 hours. So yeah, so it's brand new, and so what we're talking about today is just been introduced, and so we'll be starting that process.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great, and I know that, like I said, this has been a passion for you for years, and that you're actually, if I'm not mistaken, you're the chairman of the House Values Action Team. Is that right?
Right. I chair the Value Action Team, and a lot of people may not be familiar with that, but it's one of the caucuses in the House. There is a Senate caucus. James Lankford from Oklahoma chairs it on the Senate side. I chair it on the House side. And basically what the Value Action Team is to make sure that we promote legislation in the House and, of course, in the Senate, on the Senate side, that promotes family values and, marriage, pro-life, religious freedom, and make sure that the value issues are not left behind. As you know, sometimes Washington can get caught up in tax policy. They can be caught up in deregulation, and all of those things are good. I wholeheartedly support those things, but sometimes they can drown out everything else. And we and the Value Action Team, and we have about 100 members of the House of the Republicans that are involved with the Value Action Team, and that we're saying we have got to make sure that the values are not overlooked, and that while we're doing things to lower taxes and deregulation and you get the government out of people's pocketbook, we need to also make sure that we're taking care of the values of this country, and we're going back to what our founding fathers realized was important, that it's not all about money.
That's huge. I think those cultural issues or social cultural issues are sometimes bigger than the fiscal issues that we see all the time. So let me ask you this before we go. We got a couple minutes left here. What's the tone been like this week? I mean, when I was up there actually in your office the other day watching the inaugural, it was all fresh. I mean, we were just kind of waiting with bated breath to hear him say, "Congratulations, Mr. President," and then Trump gave a speech. But since then, and you've served under a number of presidents over the years, but since then, everything kind of got started and got started fast. What's it feel like in the Congress? Are y'all walking on lighter feet right now?
Yeah, no. Well, as I told somebody, about half of us are. Of course, there's about half of the Congress that's sort of drooping. because Kamala Harris lost on the Democrat side. But yeah, the Republicans in Washington are just elated. It feels like a new day in Washington. There's hope. Literally, we feel like having the House, having the Senate, and having the White House, we having a trifecta that we can really do something. We have a lot to do, and so we've got to deliver, and we've got to make sure that we don't just talk. And so I'll be actually involved. We've got our Republican planning conference next week, where the Republicans will be meeting for about 3 days to go over how we can try to implement Trump's policies and try to make sure that we do what was promised not only by us but by the president. And so we'll be huddling together for 3 days, and we'll not be in session, so we can focus in on these priorities. And so, but yeah, it feels like a new day in Washington, and all the Republicans are very excited, and really, I think there's a lot of unity that I've not seen in a long, long time.
Well, that's the sense that it feels like from the outside looking in, I'll be honest. And I know that you guys have a lot of decisions to make coming up the days to come, like the idea of a single reconciliation bill and how much of the agenda you can get done in you know, one piece of omnibus legislation. But in the meantime, March for Life's in D.C. right now. And I guess, have you seen any constituents from the March for Life come through yet?
I absolutely have. I met with St. Bernard's School up in Coleman. The 9th to 12th graders rode a bus up to Washington all night to be here for the March for Life. So it's great seeing young people. And March for Life is made up of a lot of young people. A lot of schools come up. And I was at a breakfast this morning for March for Life breakfast this morning. I'm actually going to a March for Life dinner tonight. And so today's all about March for Life, and that's what the focus is. And so, you know, just making sure that we don't forget that even though the Roe versus Wade was overturned, we still have a lot of work to do in the state legislatures. And to make sure that we can, because there's a lot of states that, you know, say abortion's great. And so we've got a lot of work to do. So it's not just because Roe versus Wade was overturned doesn't mean that this issue is all fixed and it's all, perfect now, because there's still a lot of education needs to be done. And we need to make sure that we get that message out that that babies are, you know, at 13 weeks. After conception, their hearts are beating. They're basically fully formed. I mean, they're actually, actually be grow more, but fully formed at 13 weeks after conception, which is, you know, I think most people are surprised when they learn that.
Yeah.
Are their hearts beating? So there's a lot to be, you know. So thank goodness for, you know, everyone that comes in to Washington this one day a year and focuses on pro-life and making sure that for the rest of the year we're not forgetting that issue.
Well, Congressman, I appreciate the fact that you've always been on this issue, and thanks for making time for us today. And we'll have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
Yeah, it sounds good, Phil, and thanks for all you do, and we look forward to being on with you again.
All right, thanks. Take care. That's Congressman Robert Aderholt, who is the dean of the Alabama delegation, meaning that he's the longest-serving congressman from the state, and he is from the 4th Congressional District, which, by the way, if you didn't know this, the 4th Congressional District of Alabama has had the highest per capita vote for Trump over the last three election cycles that he's been in of any congressional district in the entire nation. That ought to tell you something right there. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back, catch up on some text messages. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.